Harm Done by Ruth Rendell. Read by Nigel Anthony. On the day Lizzie came back from the dead, the police and her family and neighbours had already begun the search for her body. They worked on the open countryside between King's Markham and Miringham, combing the hillsides and beating through the woods. It was April, but cold and wet, and a sharp northeast wind was blowing. Their task was not a pleasant one. No one laughed or joked, and there was little talking. Lizzie's stepfather was among the searchers, but her mother was too upset to leave the house. The evening before, the two of them had appeared on television to appeal for Lizzie to come home, for her abductor or attacker, whatever he might be, to release her. Her mother said she was only 16, which was known already, and that she had learning difficulties, which was not. Her stepfather was a lot younger than her mother, perhaps 10 years, and looked very young. He had long hair and a beard, and wore several earrings, all in the same ear. After the television appearance, several people phoned King's Markham Police Station and gave it as their opinion that Colin Crown had murdered his stepdaughter. One said he had buried her on the building site down York Street, a quarter of a mile down the road from where the Crowns and Lizzie lived, on the Muriel Campton estate. Another told Detective Sergeant Vine that she had heard Colin Crown threaten to kill Lizzie because she was as thick as two planks. "Those folks as go on telly to talk about their missing kids," said a caller who refused to give her name, "they're always the guilty ones. It's always the dad. I've seen it time and time again. If you don't know that, you've no business being in the police." Chief Inspector Wexford thought she was dead, not because of what the anonymous caller said, but because all the evidence pointed that way. Lizzie had no boyfriend. She was not at all precocious. She had a low IQ and was rather slow and timid. 3 evenings before, she had gone with some friends on the bus to the cinema in Miringham, but at the end of the film, the other two girls had left her to come home alone. They had asked her to come clubbing with them, but Lizzie had said her mother would be worried. The friends thought Lizzie herself was worried at the idea, and they left her at the bus stop. It was just before 8:30 and getting dark. She should have been home in King's Markham by 9:15, but she didn't come home at all. At midnight, her mother had phoned the police.